Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the 8th day of Tishrei, Tavshin Pei Hei. Masechta Bava Metzia, Perek Chamishi, Mishnah Hei. Shomin Pora V'chamor, one is allowed to take a cow and a donkey at a certain value when they are mature and fit for work. V'chol Dover, and in fact any animal or anything, Shehu Oysa V'Oichel, that can produce and will also require feeding. And there's enough that it will give in terms of yielding income to cover more than the cost of the feeding of it. One can take that arrangement, lemechza, in order to share half the profits. So that a person can give his friend a cow or a donkey at a certain value, let's say they're $100, and to take care of them and fatten them up, get them, have offspring, and they will sell the offspring and everything else, and they will share the profits and losses. There's no worry about interest, about ribis here. Why? Because the person who's occupied and doing the work is also getting something for it, and that is namely the fact that the animal's producing. Maybe it's working in the fields, maybe it's working a transport as a donkey, but because he's getting something out of it and it's more than covering the cost of feeding them and the upkeep, that will be his fee, if you like, for taking care of it. Otherwise, we run into the problem of interest, as we discussed in the previous Mishnahs. He's taking care of the half of it that it's a pikkudin, and half of it is a loan. So he's doing the work for the pikkudin in lieu of because of the loan. There's not that, no problem anymore. He's doing it and he's getting paid for it. Mekom shenagu lachlik es havlodos miyad cholkin. Any place where the custom was that one who took charge of a cow or a donkey to share the profits with half with the owner, and a place where they have a custom where the person does not have to take care of the newly borns, and as soon as it comes time for dividing it, let's say after 30 days for a behemoth daka, for a small animal, or a larger animal after 50 days, that's it, then immediately they were accustomed to split the profits and losses and split the firstborns with the owners, then that's what they have to do. And one doesn't have to take care of them any time more than that. So once 30 days comes for a small animal, that's it. He can divide the profits and or losses. And if it's 50, and if it's a large animal, after 50 days, if that's the way they do it, that's the way they do it. Mekom shenagu lagadel, but any place where the custom was that someone who took this arrangement agreed to take on these animals, a place they normally raise the children, raise the offspring of these animals in partnership, then gadol, then the person who was the mekabel, the person who received these animals, has to do that. He also has to take care of the animals until they mature. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shomin Egel Imimoy Osyoch Imimoy. He says that if one is taking this, making this arrangement for the mature animals, for a donkey and the cow, as we said, then one can also do alongside it an arrangement to take the calf with the mother, the young donkey with its mother. This is a reference to what we've learned earlier on in this Masechta. We learned earlier on in Mishnah Dalet that one cannot make such an arrangement for calves and young donkeys to split the profits and losses halfway. And the reason is because they don't produce, they're small, and therefore the person who's taking charge of it is really working, fattening them up and feeding them, etc. He's doing it for the whole lot of the animals, for all the calves and donkeys and the young donkeys, and he's doing it because he's receiving half of it as a loan. Again, it's like interest. He's doing it because of the half of it that is a loan to him. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says if he's got the parents with it, if he's got the mother of the calf, the mother of the young donkey, then you're allowed to also take, he's allowed to also be given the young ones at a certain price, at a certain value, in order that he takes care of it, and they will divide their losses as well and their profits. And the reason is because once you've got the mothers, the adults, and he's getting profit by using it for work, then that will cover the work not just for the parents, for the adult animals, but also the work that he does with the calf and the donkey. Despite this, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is no. We do not make such an arrangement with the taking care of the young, of a calf and a young donkey, even if it's alongside the mother, taken alongside the mother. Umafriz al has al sadeo. One is allowed to add more or increase the price of a lease over a field. Now, what does that mean? A person who leases a field from his friend, he takes a lease, he's allowed to be charged more if the owner of the field lends him money to improve the field. So let's say he's leasing the field for a rate at a rate of 10 kor. Korim is a certain quantity of wheat or grain, 10 kor per year. That's when that much, a fixed price, that's what he has to pay. And then he says to the owner, look, if you lend me 200 zuz, I'm going to invest it in improving the quality of this land, and then I'll pay you 12 kor per year. Is that permitted? And the answer is yes, it is. It's mutter. The Mishnah says it's mutter. Why? He seems to be paying more because of the loan. Says the Mishnah, no. There is no problem of interest here. The reason he's paying the extra money for the lease is not because of the loan. It's because by having the loan and investing the money into the land, he's actually getting a better quality land. And that's fine. The word mafriz means to increase or widen, to make bigger, as in the words in the Tanakh, prozos teshu v'shlaim, Yishlaim will be expanding, etc. Others have a girsa, Rashi has a girsa, mafrin, which means also to increase from the word to be fruitful, prayerve. Mishnah Vav. There is a concept of tzoin barzel. Tzoin barzel literally means it's sheep, it's iron, it's as strong as iron. What does that mean? Tzoin barzel is a transaction or a property which is capital guaranteed, like iron. It doesn't get less, doesn't change. Ein mekablin tzoin barzel mishal. One is not allowed to take on sheep, let's say worth 100 seller, so that the person takes care of them for a year or two and splits the shearings of wool, any offspring that are born, any of the milk that comes from these animals, under a condition where they are capital guaranteed. In other words, the person who's doing all the work has to guarantee that the owner will get $100 worth of sheep at the end. And if anything happens less, if anything happens, they get cheaper or they die, he's obliged to pay that fixed amount of 100 seller. He's guaranteeing that capital. That is not allowed to be done. And that applies not just to sheep, but it applies to other properties as well. And why not? Mipnei shehu ribis. Because that is ribis interest. Now, not interest min haTorah, it's interest min Rabbanon, according to the Rambam, at least, the way he understands it. Why? Because the owner of the sheep gets a better deal. He stands more to profit, and his chances of losses are much less than his chances of profit. He's got his capital guaranteed, and again, it's being done because half of it is considered as a loan, as we said before. For that loan, he's getting the benefit. The lender's getting the benefit of having his capital guaranteed. Others learn a bit differently. They learn that we're talking about a case here where the person who is taking this is going to keep all the fruits, all the yield, but he must pay the owner of the sheep a fixed price per year. And since the Mishnah wants to tell us that since he has fixed a price that he must pay for any of the benefits, the yield, etc., and also he's also guaranteed the sheep, that's ribis, which is min haTorah, according to some Rishonim. Avol mekablin tzoin barzel min hanochrim, but it is permitted to do such a deal with goyim, because one is allowed to lend to a goyim interest. The loivin mehen or malvinoi son buribis. In fact, one is allowed to borrow from a goy, and one is allowed to lend to them on interest. So one can borrow from a goy and pay them interest, and you can lend them interest as well. The Rambam learns, it says from the Pasuk, lo sashich la'achicha, to your brother you cannot charge interest, but to the rest of the world it's permitted, you can. V'chein beger toshav. And so it is also with a ger toshav. A ger toshav is a goy who lives in Eretz Yisrael, but he accepts upon himself the 7 Noahide laws, the 7 mitzvahs ben noach, avodah zarah, giloy aroyos, sfichas domim, not to kill, not to commit adultery, any ancestral relationships, not to worship idols, that's 3, not eating abim and achai, limb torn from a living creature, that's 4, then birkas Hashem, the prohibition of cursing Hashem, that's 5, gezel, stealing, and dinim, setting up courts at 7. And our Mishnah is telling us here that as far as interest is concerned, he is like he has a din like a goy, a regular goy, and therefore one is allowed to borrow from him on interest, and one is allowed to lend him on interest. Malve Yisrael me'oisov shel nochri midas anochri. It is permitted for a Jew to lend the money of a goy with the goy's knowledge. What does that mean? The Gemara explains it's a case where Reuven borrowed money from a goy. He borrowed money from Christopher on interest. And he wants to give it back to Christopher, to the goy. Meantime, Shimon, his friend, Reuven's friend, comes along and says, oh, you know, you were going to give your money back as a loan back to, repay the loan back to Christopher. Do me a favor. I actually need some money. I need to borrow some money. Can you give it to me? And I'll pay you just like you were paying Christopher. Says the Mishnah, if Reuven gets the goy to come along and presents Shimon to the goy and says to him, look, you see this money, Mr. Christopher, that I owe you? My friend here, Shimon, wants to borrow them and pay you the same rate that I've been paying you. That is permitted. But only if the goy actually takes the money from Reuven and gives it to Shimon. And our Mishnah wants to tell us here that even though the goy is effectively lending to Shimon because of the agency of Reuven, because Reuven has suggested or recommended, and therefore it's with the knowledge of Reuven that he's done it, Shimon, it's permitted. It's permitted. We still see this as a transaction of a goy lending to a Jew an interest. Perfectly right. Aval lo midas Yisrael. But it should not be done with the Das Yisrael, which means with only knowledge of the Yisrael, which means if Reuven does not bring Shimon or present Shimon to the goy, he doesn't even involve the goy. Reuven can't lend this money on his own accord to Shimon, because that would be like he's lending him his money and interest. And therefore, we say that this should not be done. This should not be done because it looks like. Very much like it's almost like Reuven has lent Shimon on interest. He must bring the goy with him and do it that way. That's how the Batanura Miri learned it. Other Mefarshim learned a little bit differently, Rashi, Ben Hananel, and for those other opinions, we're going to look at the Kahati, how they learn the Pshat. That's how the Batanura learns, though, the way we've just explained it.